everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, back in town. Tom, it feels like a Monday. We had a nice four-day holiday, and it's good to have you back, by the way.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Gene Autry. remember his theme song?
Yes, I do. Back in the saddle again.
That's right.
You come back to what could be the start of one of the hottest Julys on record. And we could be looking at, unfortunately, one of the latest starts for our summer rainy season. And you heard it here first. Our buddy Dr. Guido, our climate scientist from the U of A, about a month or maybe 6 weeks ago, said this could be a very late starting monsoon. And if by very late, when you get into mid-July, I think the record is like July 20th for the latest start to the rainy season. But anyway, here we are, Wednesday, July the 5th, 2023, as my wife would say, it is what it is. And she has that wonderful stoic attitude that takes us through some, well, ups and downs for sure. Our radio program started 12 and a half years ago, broadcasting in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI Tucson Source for trusted news and talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, Democrat, representing Ward Number 6 for his monthly visit to the program. Councilman Kasachek, how are you? How was your 4th of July holiday?
It was pretty nice. It was warm, as you just said. Actually, it wasn't warm. It was hot, as you just said. But we, my wife and I, took our 102-year-old, her mom, my mother-in-law, out to breakfast, brunch, and it was a nice time. It's good to get her out of the house and get her out and about.
The 3M company, this settlement of the PFABs, you'll have to shed light on what that acronym stands for, but cities across the country were involved in this huge lawsuit. And I'm curious, is Tucson part of that settlement with the shareholders of 3M?
Yeah, so there are actually two different pieces of litigation that are happening. Let me kind of rewind the tape. Back when Jonathan Rothschild was the mayor, I convened a meeting that included him, Mike Rankin, our city attorney, Tim Tamir was our water director at the time, and a litigation team called Napoli and Skolnick, and they're out of the East Coast. I had gotten in contact with Napoli and Skolnick through a person that saw an article that Tony Davis at the Star wrote, and I was quoted, and he reached out and said, you ought to be talking to this litigation team. I brought them into town. We met, and shortly after that, I brought the issue to a study session at the mayor and council, saying that we should join what was then a litigation against 3M and about three other product manufacturers. At the time, there were 50 or so jurisdictions involved. Now it's up closer to 80 in ours. So we voted to join that litigation. Subsequent to that, other jurisdictions have filed their own. And so now there are well over 300 cities and counties across the country who are litigating against 3M and some other product manufacturers. The product is PFAS, as you said. PFAS is an acronym for it's primarily used as a firefighting foam that the Department of Defense specs into their products. It's also used on non-stick surfaces like Teflon coating and the water resistance that you have on coats and that kind of, you know, the stuff that you spray on your couch, that kind of thing. Well, 3M has been manufacturing this product literally for decades, and they are Minnesota Manufacturing and Mining, 3M. They're located in Minnesota, and the reason that's germane is because back about 20 years ago, they settled a lawsuit with the state of Minnesota for over $600 million. over contamination that they had caused in some streams and lakes around around Minnesota. As a part of that discovery that they went through with the court, internal documents were exposed, and it was made clear that 3M had guilty knowledge that what they were producing was toxic. It was getting into the ecosystem. They were finding dead fish. It was in the fish and in other wildlife out in the streets, streams and lakes. They took internal protocols to move, for instance, pregnant women off of assembly lines and that kind of thing. So it became very clear that 3M knew what they were dealing with. You know, it wasn't just marshmallows, that they were going to be safe in people's hot chocolate. So we joined that litigation about 3 years ago. We just, in the last month or so, were advised that the 3M attorneys are seeing the writing on the wall, and that writing is that if they go to court and follow through the trials, the outcome is going to be extremely expensive for them. And so what their approach right now is to start offering settlements. The class action that we're involved with right now has about just under a $2 billion settlement in front that's being negotiated. There's another one that has about 300 other cities involved that has almost a $10 billion settlement.
Wow, that's a tremendous amount of money. But then you got to split that up with all those cities.
Well, we do, and so there are two things. First of all, the court is the one that's going to have to agree to whether or not to accept it. And the fact that ours came in first at about $2 billion, and then now there's another one on the table for about five times that, I'm hoping that the court will look at ours and say, hang on, folks, you need to ante up some more, because this is not going to be sufficient to cover the costs. The city of Tucson has already spent over $50 million just out of our own coffers for mitigating the PFAS contamination that we know is in the city aquifer. We know it because we test for it. We also know the very likely source, and that is firefighting activities that were happening on Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and through the Arizona Air National Guard out at Tucson International Airport. DM admitted in writing that they were using, it's a firefighting foam called AFFF, aqueous film forming foam, everything has an acronym. They admitted that when they were, and this contains PFAS, when they were using it in their drills, they would either dilute it and dump it down the sewer system, or they would simply hose it into the soil. Well, we found contamination levels in water, city water wells just outside Davis-Monthan over 1,100 parts per trillion. Now, to put that into perspective, the EPA had at the time they were using it a health advisory of 70 parts per trillion. We're over 1,100. EPA said 70. Since then, the EPA has dropped the health advisory down to, if you can even detect this stuff when you're testing, it's an issue. It's a health issue.
Wow.
So we're talking to both the Department of Defense, our federal delegation. They've had several pieces of legislation that have tied remediation dollars, significant remediation dollars, to coming in and replacing water wells, replacing capacity, putting in treatment plants so that we can contain the plume and clean it up over time. And while that's happening, the 3M litigation is going simultaneously. And so, Bill, my concern is that while all these processes are moving forward, we have a plume. We have a PFAS plume that we know right now is just a little bit to the south and to the east of our central well field in the middle of Tucson. The reason that matters is because we all know the condition of the Colorado River. We are not serving PFAS contaminated water to our customers. We are serving about 90% of what we serve to our customers is out of the CAP. But we know that at some point in time, that is not going to be an assured water supply that we can rely on, and we are going to have to turn to our aquifer, to our groundwater. So my concern is the process, the legal processes and the congressional processes are moving more slowly than the plume is moving, and we need to ramp up and get our get dollars allocated from whichever source, so that we can start building these treatment plants and make sure that the PFAS plume doesn't hit our central well field or we're going to be in deep hurt.
Any idea, and we need to take a break, but any idea what kind of money we might be looking at, and would it be a drop in the bucket?
Well, from the $2 billion settlement, mm-hmm. I would hope that the senior divide that by 70, whatever that number is. That's about how many 70 or 80. That's how many cities and towns are in that piece of litigation. It's going to be several hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But the problem is that you don't just fix the plume. You have to put treatment plants in place, and those treatment plants have to be up and operating over the long haul, which means operation and maintenance dollars going forward as well. So this is for the federal government and for 3M. This is a hundreds of billions of dollars issue that they have to deal with nationwide. And I would conclude by saying every major city in the country that has a military base likely has a PFAS contamination issue. That's how extensive this issue is nationwide.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. More with Councilman Steve Kasachek. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition on the KVOI 1030. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition. We have Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Councilman Kasachek, the early balloting will begin here very shortly. I'm not sure when those ballots will be sent out, but it'll be very soon, right? Today, actually.
Ballots mailed out today, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the one... primary of the three council races. We've got Miguel Ortega, the Democrat, challenging the Democratic incumbent, Lane Santa Cruz, in Ward 1. You have thrown your support to Mr. Ortega. What is the situation with that, Steve Kasachek?
Well, I'm supporting Miguel for several reasons. My history with Miguel goes back to when he was the chief of staff at the Ward 3 office in 2009, 10, 11, right around that period of time, and we began working together then. We've partnered on some pretty significant issues. I think most importantly for the constituents in Ward 1 is knowing that Miguel understands constituent service. They answer their phone, they answer emails, and they directly involve constituents in decision-making processes. That is something that I have 100% confidence that he will continue on as he demonstrated in the Ward 3 office. In addition to that, Miguel has involved himself in the conversation with constituents on a very controversial development that happened out at La Cholla and 36th Street. I won't go into the whole history of it, but I will say that Kevin Dahl and I were the only two council members who voted against the development. One of the reasons was that when that area was annexed into the city, there was a commitment that was made to maintain the then existing zoning on that site, and the current council member and the rest of the council voted to go back on that promise and allow for a cluster development of about 125 homes on this land. At the time, there was what was called a concession made to preserve open space on the site. The reality, though, is, and Miguel saw through this, that what was being preserved is in a floodplain anyway, and it was largely undevelopable. So he, again, constituent services, he would have taken the time to meet with the constituents and tell the developer to come back when you've got a more reasonable proposal. That's not what happened, and it continues to be a pretty hot button item for the residents out on the west side. So I'm supporting him, and finally, I think that another important piece to this is that Miguel would be an independent voice on the council, and that is not something that I've witnessed from the incumbent right now. Is that she's pretty much lockstep, arm in arm with the mayor on pretty much every issue, and I for one would appreciate having somebody on the council who, when we walk into the room, I have confidence that it's not just a check the box support the mayor's position, that we're going to have a well-rounded conversation on each issue that's going to involve various points of view, and everybody's points of view is going to may differ, but you know, we can all walk out of the room at the end of the day maybe having disagreed on a policy issue, but still being able to work together on the next ones coming along the line. So sort of a long-winded answer, but you know, I am supporting Miguel, and in fact we'll be joining him this evening down in Barrio Viejo to present our plastic reuse program to some of the residents, and he's very much supportive of that as well.
All right, let's talk a little bit about road repair. We had the mayor of Marana, Mayor Honey, on the program last week. He is also the chair of the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board, the 9-member RTA board that is looking at the RTA Next program, which will possibly succeed, take over after this 20-year program sunsets now in less than 3 years. Where are you, Steve Kasachek, on moving forward with RTA?
Well, we don't have a proposal in front of us yet, and so you're asking me that question sort of in a vacuum. The RTA right now has two or three different committees and subcommittees that are putting together a proposal to go to the ballot. They have, as you say, until 2026 to craft something and get it to the ballot. But frankly, they want to go out earlier than that to make sure that they've got a funding stream in place when the current RTA sunsets. What I have seen so far seems to be very much focused on the kinds of things that the current RTA is focused on, and that would be capacity expansion, road widening, greater capacity improvements, which is, frankly, what the outside areas, Marana, Oro Valley, Sarita, some of the area jurisdictions that are outside of the urban core, support. That's not what, at least in Midtown, that our constituents are looking for. We don't need to be widening roads. We need to be making them safer. We need to make sure that there is a component of the RTA Next that is specifically earmarks dollars for road repair, something that does not exist right now, either in the current RTA or in any of the plans that I've seen going forward. We need to see a significant commitment to things such as Hawk Lights, multiple modes of mobility included outside of or in addition to automobiles. We don't see that yet. And so I know that Mayor Honey is big on the capacity expansion. That's fine for Marana. But the city of Tucson is over 50% of the tax base supporting this, and over 50% of the electorate who's going to either have to support thumbs up or thumbs down. And I think that the RTA Technical Management Committee, Citizens Advisory Committee, and the RTA board themselves would be wise to seriously consider the input that they are getting from the city of Tucson, or we may not be on board in terms of supporting it. We have an option. We, the city, have already identified a 20-year transportation plan called Move Tucson. And when we approved our own Proposition 411, which is for our own road repair, residential road repair, we earmarked 50 cents, half cent sales tax for that. Clearly, knowing that we could have expanded that to a full penny and taken care of all of the RTA kinds of things that the city is focused on, we left that half cent on the table to allow the RTA time to come up with a proposal that might be acceptable to City of Tucson residents. Bill, we have an option to go back to the voters and say, instead of splitting that remaining half cent with nine other jurisdictions, let's just focus all that half cent on the City of Tucson centric projects that we've identified and moved Tucson for the next 20 years and spend our dollars on ourselves instead of splitting it nine ways. So it's a serious conversation. We have this on our agenda again coming up on July 18th to talk about what the RTA is proposing. As I said at the beginning of this, they haven't proposed anything concrete yet, but it's all kind of ideas. But before I, anyway, am willing to say, yeah, I'm going to support RTA Next, but when it goes to the voters, I need to see what it is that we're supporting and make sure that it's something that at least my constituents are going to want to vote for, because it's their half cent for the next nearly quarter century that we're talking about, and we have options.
All right. You mentioned earlier about the Tucson plastic program. I do want to do a shout out. We had our Reed Park Zoo update last week, and I think it's wonderful that they have kind of picked up the ball here on the plastic reuse program, Steve Kasachek.
Yeah, I was out at the zoo on Saturday, actually playing some guitar and singing for their summer safari nights. It was great. I saw Nancy Klug, who's the who runs the Tucson Zoological Society. She stopped by, and we chatted for a while, and they have what's called an eco challenge. And they are asking people to sign up to voluntarily identify ways in their own lives that they can reduce the use of plastic in their lives. And it's not easy. I mean, look around you. You know, pretty much everything from the keyboard in front of your computer to your cell phone to your glasses to the straw coming out of your cup is made out of plastic. So the zoo is totally on board with this. And as I said in my own newsletter that went out a couple of days ago, if everybody who is in Tucson who's supporting this plastic reuse program reduced their use of plastic by 50%, it wouldn't move the needle a bit in terms of our ability to move this project forward. That is how pervasive this stuff is in our lives. And since last August, the community has now provided over 120 tons of non-recyclable plastic to this program that we're involved with. And within the next week or so, I'm going to have a tiny home made out of the buy blocks here in front of the Ward 6 office to help kind of kickstart that conversation about how to use this stuff for structures. We already have things like raised planter beds and perimeter walls that are scattered around town and benches. So we're moving with this. I'm absolutely thrilled that the zoo is a participant in it as well and a supporter. And I hope people sign on to the ReedParkZoo.org website and get signed up for that eco challenge and really find ways to reduce this stuff in your life because it's not going away. And next time you walk into your dentist or doctor's office, look around you and you'll see that it's not a bad product. There's nothing evil about plastic. We just don't manage it well. And that's what we in the zoo are trying to do.
All right, Steve Kasachek, good catching up with you. Hope you manage to stay cool. Your running schedule must be now starting at about 4:30 in the morning.
I am still getting out about 5:30 or so. I finish up a little before 9, and it is getting to be oppressive.
I'm
hoping that your entry comments about this being a real late monsoon start doesn't come to fruition. We need it like now. We needed it yesterday.
Yep, we do. All right, Steve, have a very good afternoon. Thank you, sir.
Bill, take care of yourself.
All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show. TucsonSentinel.com beefing up their local news coverage. That's coming up next. Dylan Smith and Jim Nintzel, the new addition to the team at TucsonSentinel.com, will join me in studio midweek edition Buckmaster on a Wednesday. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, even though it feels like it's the Monday edition, after we enjoyed a nice four-day Independence Day break here on the Buckmaster Show. The folks over at Green Things are patiently, like all of us, waiting for the rains to come. They will come, maybe not for the next week or so, but eventually they'll come. And if you go to Green Things, and I hope you do, and ask their very talented staff, what should I put in the garden now to get ready for the summer rains? They will point you in the right direction, put some beautiful color in your garden. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. That's where you will find Green Things, and they have been there for 53 years. Their 13-acre site is also home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, much of it handcrafted, Latin America and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are the websites. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio when we do our telephone interviews. The live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, but we will stay live in studio for the next couple of segments. Joining me, Dylan Smith. Dylan is here, editor and co-publisher and founder of the online news service known as TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan is president of the Arizona Press Club, past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is an acronym for Local Independent Online News Publishers. Dylan and his team have decided to beef up their local news coverage with an addition, and he is no stranger to all of us here on the Buckmaster Show, and no stranger to me. 35 years, pretty much, I've known this man, longtime local journalist Jim Nintzel, who worked as a reporter and editor at the Tucson Weekly for more than three decades before stepping down last year for a little bit of a break. Well-deserved break. He's joining the Tucson Sentinel staff to serve as the government and political impact reporter. Jim and Dylan, how are you guys?
I'm good. You mentioned your four-day weekend. I'm coming off a 365-day weekend.
Yeah.
What is this weekend thing? I didn't get any days off.
Had a nice break.
Actually, Jim didn't get much of a day off yesterday either. He was busy reporting.
Was he really? You've already thrown him into the lion's den.
He's back in.
Probably shouldn't mention this to anyone who's tracking hours or anything like this, but I did get an early start. With Dylan, working hard, going out and talking to these folks running for Tucson City Council, and I'll tell you, it's been great to get back out there and start talking to people again. I kind of feel like an old ball player or something. Sid Finch, you know, he used to be able to throw a 168-mile-per-hour fastball, and it kind of lost his speed there over the years. And
when did he play?
He was a Mets prospect back in 1985, I think.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Mets.
Yeah. Yeah. sad story. Anyway.
Threw 160 mile an hour.
he slightly exaggerates.
No, it was an April Fool's joke by George Plimpton back in 1984, The Curious Case of Sid Finch.
And
it was a big Sports Illustrated story about a guy who could supposedly throw 168 mile per hour fastball.
Anyway. So you're back in the saddle. Dylan, tell our listeners a little bit about the acquisition of Jim Nintzel. Makes it sound like there was a bidding war or something. Maybe there was for Jim, but anyway, how did all of this come
kind
about?
Kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the opportunity arose to bring Jim on as part of a program that the Sentinel has been participating in for several years, Report for America, which is a national effort to help bolster local newsrooms around the country. We've had a couple of RFA core members already. Generally, they are fairly early career journalists. Some of them, you know, only a couple of years out of college, people who are really still, you know, trying to build up their resumes and, you know, sharpen their skills and get really good. And that's why RFA supports a portion of their salaries to make sure that we do have a pipeline of young reporters. But a different section of that program is bolstering local newsrooms by also bringing aboard experienced reporters and making sure that there is some, you know, that knowledge and their skills are preserved and passed along. And I don't think you get much more experienced of a journalist in this town than Jim Nitzel. He's been around for a hot minute or two.
Yeah, Jim, didn't you start in 1990?
Yeah, more or less. It was
But you were a delivery.
I was a delivery boy for the Tucson Weekly initially. My first job was actually hauling around in the summertime in a 1968 Volkswagen Bug with no air conditioning.
And making the drops,
taking ad proofs to clients and showing them what their ad would look like, and picking up a check so their ad would run. And it was, you know, in the days before fax machines and email, that job has pretty much been like apparently 70% of the jobs in journalism has now been replaced by technology.
Who hired you there then at the Weekly?
Oh, that, you know, that was Doug Biggers. He was the owner at that point, owner and publisher of the Weekly. I'd known Doug for some time because his sister had been married to my brother, so it was pure nepotism. I'm a nepo baby. It got me in the door, for sure.
Dylan, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you came about to create the Sentinel. And so this is a question I've never asked you before. How did you come up with the name Sentinel?
There are a number of reasons it's called the Tucson Sentinel. One, it is that even though we're an online digital news organization, we really uphold a lot of the traditional values of the press, you know, time-honored things, trying to be accurate and fair and fact-based and, you know, just all of those ethics. And so Sentinel is kind of a, you know, good old-fashioned newspaper name, the Orlando Sentinel, which is a, you know, very famous newspaper. So many others, the Sun Sentinel, so many newspapers with Sentinel in their names around the country. But also, you know, what is one of the most well-known symbols of our community? You know, most of the time we call it a mountain. But the actual
name
is Sentinel Peak.
That's right.
So, you know, kind of reflecting the fact that we are so truly local and rooted in this community, and that it's, you know, our focus is entirely on informing people here so that we can be the best place to live that we can possibly be.
Dylan, when you started the Sentinel about 13 years ago, right?
14 now.
14,
I think.
Okay.
I've
14.
Lost count, honestly.
Was any, who did you look to, or who was doing, were there some notable folks doing this kind of work, this online publishing at that time?
Only a handful. I was prompted to do this because I was the online editor of the Tucson Citizen, and then corporate chain ownership kind of throttled that to death and shut it down. So I was stubborn, still am stubborn, and wasn't willing to see this town, you know, have a shrinking number of places to get information. So I went home and registered a domain name and got busy trying to build a news organization. And here we are 14 years later. When I started, there were a handful of folks who were also, you know, developing kind of the same ideas around the country at the same time. There were a wave of you know, experienced journalists who were getting laid off through, you know, severe downsizing, or because their newspapers or newsrooms were being closed. So when we got the ball rolling in 2009, there were maybe 20 of us around the country.
Wow.
And as part of building the Sentinel, I also helped found Lion Publishers, as you mentioned, which is folks doing local, independent, online news all around the country. And from the that handful of folks, there are now more than, I think, 450 news outlets around the U.S.
Wow. And over in Europe, too.
And you know, it's
Canada and Europe.
It's catching on across Canada, where there are a number, and including several members who've joined Lion. Australia now has a few. There are a few in the U.K. And it's, you know, kind of a movement of people who want to see news, not just rebuilt, but, you know, rebuilt in a way that is more responsive to local communities, get away from the chain ownership model of, you know, people who are far away taking all the profits and making all the decisions about what gets done and returning that right here to Tucson.
And I think that's like a vitally important thing, because certainly in my lifetime, I've seen the morning day, the afternoon daily go away, the morning daily shrink, the organization I used to work for pretty much abandoned the notion of covering news. So it feels really great to go back out and go back to reporting, which is what I used to have time to do, and be doing it again, and know that that's where the focus is going to be. It's going to be on journalism, and, you know, not on the next pet section that we have to put together. as much as I love animals. And,
well, we haven't told you about
that. Oh, okay. Well,
you're going to be the editor of that.
So
I'm fighting the Tucson dog.
Yeah, I like the Skinny. You used to do the Skinny. I loved that column. It was every Thursday when the weekly came out. Then you had to, as you say, you had managerial duties. You had to cut back on how often you could do the Skinny. Is it possible that there might be like a Skinny column in your future at the Sentinel?
Well, my job at Skinny was you know, it had a certain attitude, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. wasn't afraid to share mm-hmm. its mm-hmm. thoughts and opinions mm-hmm. on things. In this role, I'm a reporter. I'm with Report for America. I'm much mm-hmm. more straightforward in how I'm approaching okay. things. But you never know what could develop over time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, certainly people in this town are not unfamiliar with the opinions of Jim Nensel, mm-hmm. and I don't. You know, in general, I think it's not a good idea for journalists to pretend they don't have opinions. It's our job to very often set those opinions aside and, you know, be fair to people that maybe we don't quite agree with. You know.
If you have a heartbeat, I'm sure you've got an opinion.
Exactly. And, you know, just like
and journalists and broadcasters, we're not immune to any of that.
Just like a doctor doesn't care who their patient is, you know.
Yeah.
That they treat people regardless of their, you know, race, sex, mm-hmm. ethnicity, political opinions. You know, your doctor doesn't care how you're registered to vote.
No.
You know, as journalists, I think we care that you are registered to vote, but it doesn't really matter to us which way. We just want to dig into things and find out what government means to you in your life.
All right, Jim Nensel and Dylan Smith will continue our conversation. Jim, you're coming on board at a very good time, because 2024 is going to be a circus and three rings for sure. Talk more with Nensel and Dylan Smith after we take a break. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We love to talk about Silver City and our 10-degree guarantee, which really comes into play this time of year. Tucson pushing 110, 111 degrees. It's going to be 10 degrees cooler at least in Silver City. And I can say that with a lot of confidence. Look at that temperature, midday right now. Mid-90s, 94 degrees. It's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Lots to do over there. The temperature's really pleasant mornings to get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. In studio, Dylan Smith, the co-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. He is the editor and also founder of said publication, online publication, in its 14th year. Jim Nitzel joining the team as political reporter for Dylan and the group over at TucsonSentinel.com. So, Jim, you join at a very important time. Many are saying the 24 election will run through Arizona.
They say that, and you know, certainly, you know, the Senate race is going to be fascinating with Kirsten Sinema already moving in as an independent, and we still don't know whether she's going to run again or not. You know, who knows? Maybe she'll run for president. No labels, and we'll see who gets into that Republican side. We know, I think Mark Lamb has already jumped into that race, and of course Ruben Gallego on the Democratic side. So it's maybe a three-way race that's going to be really fascinating to watch, or I guess we'll wait and see, but that's going to be great. You know, just I just think there's less and less political reporting in our traditional media.
There is.
And the opportunity to be focused on that is a blessing, and I just never imagined anybody would give me this opportunity again. So I'm immensely grateful to Dylan and the entire team over the Sentinel and the Report for America folks, because I do think this is an important thing for folks to be aware of, and I just feel really lucky.
How can people support? Well, I know how they can support TucsonSentinel.com. They also can support Report for America.
Yeah. I mean, Report for America does not fund Jim's entire salary and benefit package. As slender as it may be, they still won't cover the entire freight or any of our other RFA core members that we've had. Hmm. You know, we need to raise a significant amount of money here locally, just as we do to, you know, make sure the rest of our professional reporters are continue to get their, you know, be able to keep a roof over their head at the very least. So if people want to help us out and pitch in and help us keep growing at the Sentinel, they can go to TucsonSentinel.com/watchdog become a member of the Watchdog Club. You can sign up to send us a little bit of money every month or give us a nice, healthy one-time donation to make sure that the Sentinel team is digging into the desert dirt all over the place, bringing you stories that you won't find anyplace else. And on that, I wanted to mention, you know, Jim's job is not to kind of replicate the cable news model of partisan talking points and, you know, they said this and they said this and, you know, kind of the latest, you know, buzzwords and phrases and things that we're being told should be important by people in D.C., but really digging into what do these things mean here in Tucson and Southern Arizona? What does it mean when these policies are discussed? How will that affect our lives? And getting into that, you know, taking that big step beyond kind of the political tumult that the kind of nationalization of our elections that has taken place on cable news, on social media. What's it mean for Tucson? That's the big question.
When will your first piece be available?
It's up already.
It's okay. We're up. Okay. Yeah. Just a quick look at the ballots going out today and the folks who are running, but we'll be digging deeper into all of those candidates and those issues in the weeks and actually months to come as we get past the general or past the primary and into the general.
Yeah, because we do have an election starting basically today.
Yeah,
ballots going out in the mayoral primary, which really isn't much of a primary with no contested race, but
there's a write-in candidate, there's
also this effort to have the way people vote in Tucson change from the way we're doing it now. How many signatures? They need 14,000 signatures or something to get on the ballot?
In that range, but you know, they have to be valid signatures,
yeah.
And that's always the pitfall
so
for
if
folks
you're gonna,
who
if you
are
need 14,
running an initiative.
If you need 14, you better turn in 20.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
And if they will they have 14 that are actually verified when they get checked out after the deadline, which is coming up fairly soon, isn't it?
It's today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I've got some confusion on that. I was trying to track it down.
I believe it is tomorrow because of the holiday, so they've
okay,
got you know, kind of an extra day.
We always have new folks who listen to the program, so many people moving into town. What would be the best way, Dylan, for maybe somebody new to the community to find you and your team?
Well, come to TucsonSentinel.com and please sign up for the Watchdog Club, of course, to support us, but also sign up for our email newsletter, our Watchdog updates that go out very regularly. We will email you the latest, best reporting from our team and from our partners, nonprofit investigative partners like the Center for Public Integrity and ProPublica and folks like that.
I'm going to stop by the Shanty on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, you mentioned we've only got a few seconds left, but the way the online publishing world has been growing, and everyone, I guess, has their, depending on their particular unique characteristic of their community, they approach what they do in a kind of a different manner, right, Dylan Smith?
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's completely different than the legacy chain corporate media kind of thing. Where
you see one, you're going to see it
all. Where you have a template and you have the same sort of, you know, edicts coming from corporate about, oh, you got to cover this and our dog section's coming out Wednesday and everybody has to do that timed at the same time. You know, we are here. We're authentically local in Tucson. We make our editorial decisions about what to cover and who to ask tough questions of, because we love Tucson and we're here and we want this place to be the best possible place to live.
Yeah. All right.
I came up in the alternative press and this is the closest thing to that exists now that the alternative press has been kind of cookie cuttered up. So.
Yep. All right, Jim Nintzel, we'll look for your work. And Dylan Smith, thanks for putting Jim on board. I think it's a very good decision. Anyway,
thanks,
guys. All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. On behalf of Jim and Dylan and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, hoping everybody has a very nice afternoon.